An interesting morning already. Amen and hallelujah. And we've been using the phrase "count it all joy" this morning several times. And that's what we're going to do. I know that it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day out there. I mean, I'm outside in short sleeves and just going, wow, it's just wonderful out. And but we seem to be having issues around us. We've had technical difficulties this morning. We have many in our congregation who have illness. Some have got colds. We've had some who've had to have surgery. And yet, in all these things, we're supposed to be saying, count it all joy. And so let's do that this morning. Let's count it all joy. Let's give praise to God for what He's doing here at Northbrook and doing in each of our lives. Let's just bow and pray. Father God, we do thank You for Your blessings here this day. We thank You for each person who You do bring to Northbrook. Lord, we thank You for each of the lives whom we touch. Lord, whether they count Northbrook as their church or not, Lord, what's important is that we are sharing Your love with these people and they are coming to know You more. And we give You praise for that. Lord, we've not had an easy time of it. We've had difficulties. But Lord, we've had blessings beyond count. So Lord, lift up our eyes from the problems of the day and the cares of the world and even the infirmities of our body, Lord. Instead, might we lift up our eyes to You and Your glory and Your salvation and Your blessings. And even the joy that You can give us in the midst of trials. And might we give You praise. Lord, we give You praise this morning. We thank You that we can indeed come and worship You as You have directed us to do so. And that none here in this country say that we can't. We thank You for that privilege. We pray for those of our brothers and sisters in Christ who don't have that privilege. And we pray that Your hand of blessing would be upon them. Now, Lord, I pray that You would be with me as I come to preach this morning. That You would guide and direct my words so that they would be words of encouragement, words of truth, words which will bring the people here one step closer, or even more, to You. Father, we give You this day and all that's in it. We give You praise. Amen. Well, we're going to be tackling a longer section today. If you thought last week was long, section of Scripture, we did, 22 verses. We are going to be looking at the entirety of chapter 3. Chapter 3 doesn't break down real well. It is kind of, I thought, one basic premise, or at least one section I wanted to deal with at one time. So if you want to turn with me to your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, or hopefully look up on the screen and we'll have Scripture. We will go through Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are the riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding He set the heavens in place. By His knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you and an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, "Come back later. I'll give it tomorrow," when you have it with you now. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. For the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into His confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools He holds up to shame. Now, I gave a title for this week, just a general title of relational wisdom. And that's the heading that I see this whole passage under, that of relational wisdom within my mind. As I look at this, I see the Father coming, speaking to the Son, speaking to you and me, saying, "Take this instruction. I'm going to tell you how to relate. And that relation will give you wisdom. How to relate with others." I'm taking a class in sociology right now. Actually, introduction to research methods and sociology. And sociology is all about the study of relationships between people. Wherever there are people, there will be relationships. Some are good, some are bad. Some fall somewhere in between. The wisdom presented here is on that relational wisdom. How best to have a good relationship? How can we relate? It begins with instructions, you know, to keep these commands. Then prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. In verse 3 it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love. Okay, who can give me the definition of love? Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. And we're being told, don't let that leave you. And faithfulness. I like to define faithfulness as stick-to-itiveness. That's staying with the agreements, the covenants that we have made with God and that we've made with others. Even when things get tough, we're sticking with it. Perseverance is another way of saying it. But being faithful is persevering in one's commitments, in one's faith, persevering in one's beliefs, in our relationship with the Lord. We're told to keep love and faithfulness. These are our cornerstones, which we are to take, these mementos, which we're to take, and we're to bind them around our necks and write them on our hearts. We take these, and with these we will win favor and a good name with both God and man. When we relate to others with love and with faithfulness, that will improve our relationships with others and also with God. You say, well, I really don't care about my relationships. You should. Because they do affect us. And we'll see some of those blessings a little bit later. It goes on and jumps into those. And we're also supposed to focus in on our relationship with God. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not with your understanding. That's our cover today of our bulletin. Trust in the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord is supposed to be one where we trust Him, not trust ourselves. Don't trust me for God, for yourself. Trust God. Lean on Him. Not with our own understanding, but with that understanding which is that of the Holy Spirit. In all our ways acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. Chapter 2 was what? All about wisdom. Seeking to find us that best path through life. And when we have a better relationship with God, by leaning on Him, wisdom gives us those better paths. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. How many of us have had financial problems? Well, this is the Lord tells us. If we honor Him, then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats brim with new wine. He's telling us that we need to have a relationship which is honest with Him. He has commanded us to give those first fruits. And when we don't, we are stealing from God. And our relationship with Him is then broken. It's false. We say, God, I'm giving you this. But He says, but you're supposed to be giving me that. That's not an honest and right relationship. And it will hurt us. Just as having that full relationship, that right relationship, will benefit us. I want to back up just a bit. Verse 7. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Now remember, fearing the Lord is the motto for the entire book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, 7, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 7 is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. And shun evil. When we fear the Lord, remembering that fear isn't this trembling, oh, God's out to get me. That is not the fear that we're talking about here. This is the fear that comes from knowing that God is righteous. He is holy. He will not countenance breaking of the law. That He will bring judgment. That fear. Knowing that judgment will be what is deserved. Knowing that judgment will be rightly given. Just as I feared the judgment of my parents as a child when I would do that which was wrong, because I knew I was going to get judged. I knew that punishment was coming. Because I had broken the law. That's the fear that we're to have. Why? So that we don't break the law. Knowing that if we do so, a penalty will have to be paid. Now the fact of the matter is that we have broken the law and the penalty has been paid. Yes, Christ has died on the cross for my sins, for your sins, for all of our sins. But there is also, in addition to that ultimate penalty which has been paid for all time, there are earthly penalties that come. It's kind of like the judge stands up and says, you know, I sentence you to death, 25 years in jail, and a $20 fine. I'm going to commute the death sentence, the 20 years in jail, commuted, but you still got to pay that $20 fine. That's what we have. We face the consequences of our actions, because that's what they are. And fear of the Lord is knowing that there will be those consequences. Also knowing that judgment that He brings is not one that comes out of anger or out of hatred for us, but out of His love for us, which we see down here in verses 11 and 12. It said, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as the Father, the Son He delights in." It is not loving to never discipline a child. That's not love, that's laziness. It shows that the parent really doesn't care about that child. Because if you did love that child, you would slap the hand of it, that little child, when it reached up to the stove, so that it wouldn't pull that hot pot down on itself. Why? Because you don't want the child to get hurt. So you hurt its hand? Yes, to teach him not to. To bring discipline, correction. The purpose of discipline is to change behavior, not just punishment in order to bring pain and suffering, but to correct that which was wrong. To say, no, that's the wrong direction. Go this way and bring that change. That all comes from the fear of the Lord. The discipline comes because He loves us. This is because of our relationship, which is one of Father, God, and child, us. We're the children. We need to remember that. Sometimes we get confused. We want to tell God, you know, like, whoa, God, like, you're doing it wrong. No. We just don't get it. We don't know. We don't have all the information. We don't have His experience. Kids may know a lot, but they don't have all that background knowledge that the parents have. You take that and you multiply it by infinity. And you get the difference between us and God. We don't know anything. He does. And when we seek after Him, we find that when we seek after wisdom, that it's a blessing for us. Now we see wisdom again personified in this next section. Again, I want to bump back to chapter 1, where we talked about wisdom, taking on some divine attributes. Is this the pre-incarnate Christ? I don't know. That's all I can tell you for sure. But I can tell you that wisdom and God are intertwined in such a way that they cannot be broken apart. I can tell you that God and wisdom were involved in the creation world. I believe wisdom is much more than just an attribute of God. That's my belief. We see here wisdom, we don't talk about attributes as people. Personification. We see that personification of wisdom here. Is it Jesus before he was? I don't know. I mean, is this the feminine side of God? I don't know. But I will tell you that there's a blessing for us when we seek to have relationship with God and with wisdom. With the woman wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver. She yields a better return than gold. She's better than rubies. Long life is what she gives. Here, again, this is one of those divine attributes we're talking about. In her left hand are the riches, ways of put, verse 16 or 18. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and who lay hold of her will be blessed. This is where one of those verses that point us towards Jesus and wisdom maybe being the same. Because when we lay hold of the tree of life, it's the cross. It's Jesus. And when we embrace Him, we embrace her wisdom. And we will be blessed. And wisdom is part of laying down those foundations, just as Christ was. We know Christ was there at creation and was, and through, it said, through Him all was created. So are they the same? One same? I don't know. But our relationship is we are to have relationship with both, not just one. To have relationship with one is honestly to have relationship with the other. So there are blessings. Her ways are pleasant ways and her paths are peace. Now let's move on to our relationships between people. Between one another. Now there was a guy at a party. I'm going to call him multi-level marketer. They said insurance agent in the joke, but you know. We all have our people who we, groups of people who we dislike the most. Which we shouldn't do. Which I'm going to point out in this joke. There's this guy at this party and he's trying to start up a conversation with another guy. He said, "Who's that ugly woman over there?" He says, "That's my wife." No. He said, "I'll kind of flush that other one." "Well, that's my daughter." Now, yeah. What's that got to do with it? When we read these passages here, we see our relationships with one another, how we treat other people, is how God treats us. How others will treat us. Now, this guy didn't have a close relationship with this woman from across the way, but as soon as he started commenting on her, he was building relationship, negative one. And we are not to do that. Do not plot harm against your neighbor. Do not accuse a man for no reason. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. What were you supposed to do? It says, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. It's not sound judgment or discernment to speak disparagingly of anybody else because we don't know who it is that we're really talking to sometimes. And if I'm trying to build myself up by tearing somebody else down, which is basically what that type of comment does, and when I do that to somebody, I don't know what their relationship with that other person may be. And I might find that I'm really digging myself my own grave, figuratively. For they will be life for you and an ornament to grace your neck, and then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. Lie down, you will not be afraid. You'll have no fear of sudden disaster, for the Lord will be your confidence. Instead, it tells us not to withhold this good, but act when it's in your power to act. When you have it with you, you're supposed to give it when it's asked for. Somebody lives trustfully next to us, we're supposed to be trustful in our relationships with them. See, the Lord tells us that how we relate to others affects our relationship with Him. As you do unto the least of these, so you've done unto me. The Lord tells us. Jesus tells us that in the Gospels. Now here we come here in Proverbs. And we see, do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. He says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. How we interact with one another, are we proud? Are we mockers? Are we violent? I know I could probably say guilty on all those at different times or another in my life. I'm not going to ask anybody else to raise their hand. I'm sure you're all much better people than I am. But we're not to envy that or desire that. When we have that, see, it hurts our relationship with God. As we do unto the least of these, so we do unto Him. You see, the wise inherit honor. The fool He holds up to shame. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. To lay hold of wisdom and to follow it well, we need to put love and faithfulness around our neck and write it on our hearts. We need to use the cornerstone of the fear of the Lord, recognizing that no matter what we do in any action, it's as if we're doing it to God. Now put the fear of the Lord, love, faithfulness, and put those together, and then pretend that the person you're interacting with is God. Not God all-knowing, all-powerful, but just God personified. God, the young child Jesus. And saying, this is what I'm going to do this to God. I'm going to behave in such a manner towards Him. How would we do that? How would it change the way we interact with one another? I know it would certainly change the way I interact with people. If I saw everybody as a reflection of God. And we are. For God created each one of us in His image. We're not God. I'm not saying that. But we are a reflection of Him. And how we interact with one another reflects upon Him and our relationship with Him. So let's be wise. Let's put love and faithfulness around our neck. And let's put fear of the Lord as our basis of knowledge. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the wisdom that You have shown us here on how we can relate one to another. How we relate to You. Lord, we thank You that we don't have to pay that ultimate penalty. That You have paid it for us. For we are each one sinners under the law. Father, help us to have attitudes of forgiveness towards one another, as You have had an attitude of forgiveness towards us. Might we trust in You, Lord, with all of our heart. Might we lean upon You and Your understanding, and not upon our own. Father, make straight our paths, and might they lead to You and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.